You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. The 2017 Equinox clearance is on right now. $8,000 off MSRP on all units. The 2018s are also here, so check it out at lakewoodchev.com. We are joined by Daryl Marchuk once again. Daryl, how you doing?
I'm excellent, Jason. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, appreciate it. The one exercise, it's always good to give refreshers, but I think the one exercise more and more people are doing, it's very effective. Of course, a multi-joint movement involves our legs. The biggest one, squats, very important, but bad form can be a major issue. What are things for people that are just starting out or have been doing it for a while that need to be reminded of when it comes to squats?
I think for the people just starting out, you have to remember it's just like sitting in a chair. So your hips have to hinge, you have to sit your way back. But what I'd like to talk about with squats a little bit, since we're covering the topic, is just some of the things that are myths or pseudo myths when it comes to the squat. And, you know, there's questions all the time on depth and what's right and what's wrong and can your knees cross your toes and shouldn't they? So I just want to clarify a few things with the squat. First of all, when it comes to depth, you know, people ask, should I go to 90 degrees, like parallel with the ground, or should I go the term glutes to grass, where your butt goes as low as you can? And the answer is really depends on the person. And to not be too vague, it does depend on the person. And it depends based on the structure of their hip and sometimes mobility. There are certain people that just based on the shape of their hips will never be able to break parallel. Some people won't even be able to get to parallel. And some people will have no problem going right down to the floor with their squat. So it really depends on how you're built. What we look for is something called butt link. And I know that sounds like a funny term, but it's actually the technical term for it. If you look at yourself in a mirror when you're squatting and you watch your butt, there'll be a point when you get lower into your squat, somewhere around parallel or just below where your hips will tuck underneath. As soon as that happens, you've lost the safe position with your spine. So as a simple guide for your listeners, only go as low as you can before that starts to happen. So that gives you an idea on depth. And you really don't need to go any lower than that unless you're trying to become a high-level Olympic lifter or there's some specific reason why your occupation or a sport you play makes you do that under heavy load. And then foot placement is another one. You hear a lot about, you know, should the toes be pointed straight or should they be turned out? And another thing is, you know, do they have to be symmetrical? And the answer is, once again, it's based on your hips. So some people are going to feel great with their toes forward and some people need them turned out. So a simple way to think about it, what feels best for you? And sometimes that will actually mean that one toe is turned out a little bit more than the other, and that's totally fine. However you feel good getting down to that position, do it. Start by sitting as low as you can, wherever your feet want to go, let them go there. And that's usually a great spot to start with your squats. And if you follow all the tips I just gave, you're going to be a lot better off than trying to figure out, certain things or go by what you hear on the internet and may end up getting injured or not doing it effectively.
Well, there's no doubt the squats are a big part of any program to get stronger and feel fit. But there's another exercise that's kind of coming up that's maybe changing the way we look at getting some aerobic exercise.
Yeah, push a sled. It's one of the most underrated things you can do. So most gyms now, whether it's a commercial facility or private facilities, they've invested into a sled, ours included. Push it. Load it up with some weights and run at it. It's phenomenal for quads, anaerobic conditioning. You have to brace your core. It helps running acceleration. It's functional because we have to push on things in real life. The shoulders have to work. And it's actually reasonably easy on the joints as well. There's not a lot of impact to it. It's hard, but try it out. It's one of the most underrated things you can do in a gym.
Now, do you have to do it on grass? What do you do it on?
So you can do it on grass. You can do it on concrete. Most facilities, like, they'll have a sled that's designed for whatever surface they have. So, for example, the one we have at one of our clubs is on wheels, but it's on a gear system that slows it down because we have rubber flooring. There'll be other places with turf. So it really doesn't matter. It's all about the resistance. So, you know, put some weight on, and as long as you can keep a kind of a steady jogging speed at least, then push.
Now, a good cardio source that a lot of people overlook, but is still highly effective. What is it?
Jump rope, skip. It's, you know, everybody talks about, they'll come in and, hey, I want to get a piece of cardio for my house. And what should I get? And they're talking about, you know, treadmills and bikes. And if you want a good one of those, they're expensive. And so you can either go buy a $2,000 treadmill or a $15 jump rope. And I think it's a better method as well. I mean, they're portable, they're cheap. It's great for coordination and whole body conditioning. You can modify footwork. So if you have a certain sport that you're trying to match it to or activity, you can modify your footwork. For example, boxers, when they're skipping, they try to modify their footwork like they would in a boxing match. You can easily vary tempo, pace, for different goals. And, you know, usually what I hear about is, oh, I look goofy. I feel goofy when I try it. Like, just like anything, you're going to have to be a little bit uncomfortable off the start until you figure it out. But a couple tips with that, you know, that I see consistently that causes issues. People try to jump to the moon. So it's just little jumps, not trying to jump like a deer, and just little hops. And then if you're struggling, just start with a rope in one hand to the side, watch yourself in a mirror, and just try to time your jumps to the floor contact of the rope. And then you'll easily be able to incorporate the actual regular skipping. And, you know, usually with clients within 5 or 6 tries, they've got it down pretty well.
Now, you know, sometimes people feel a little bit weakness in their back or their core. You know, what type of exercise can we do for that to maybe to kind of work on that for just everyday activities like, you know, picking up our kids?
Yeah, I think some of the traditional still work. You know, deadlifts are great and seated rows are good and back extensions. All of those are great. But the one thing I think that people are missing is pull on things with ropes. You know, there's nothing to substitute for actually pulling on heavy things. So it works the middle back, which is often underdeveloped. I mean, lower back work, core work, your legs have to brace into the floor. Your grip strength is going to go up drastically. If you do it fast enough, you can do it as a conditioning-based workout. And so, as I mentioned earlier, most gyms have sleds now, and ropes, larger ropes or battle ropes, as they're called, are kind of typical gym equipment now. You attach it to that sled and pull. And it's hard. You're going to be tired, but in the end, you feel great, and it's going to help all of those areas that I just discussed.
And lastly, real-life situations call for us not only to be able to lift objects, but also move them. So any solution on things we can do that match kind of real life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you already said it. Lift heavy things and walk with them. So, you know, in a gym setting, you've got a few different things you can use, but I'll give you an example. If in real life, if you've carried 2 of the 18-liter water coolers into your house or up in a set of apartment stairs, and you're tired, right? And if you incorporate into that a workout, it is a workout. Or all those people right now that are landscaping their yard, I know I went through that last year, but it's a workout. And so in the gym, you can use dumbbells or sandbells, or, you know, if you're not in the gym, use things like, you know, you would. Those water jugs I just talked about are actually fantastic. Throw a person over your shoulder if you're strong enough. It's going to work grip, stability, core, legs, upper back, shoulder stability, your breath control, and it's phenomenal conditioning workout. But nothing's going to teach you to move heavy things like actually moving them. And just a couple tips to maximize this. So usually aim for 20 to 30 seconds. So pick a weight or an apparatus that you have to struggle with but can do for 20 to 30 seconds to start. Either work on adding weight or distance. And then to make things even a little bit more challenging, use uneven weight. So if this is in a gym, maybe in one hand you've got a 50-pound dumbbell and in another one you have a 20, or just a 50-pound and nothing, or even something like water, as I mentioned, because water, it moves, and your body has to adjust to it. So grab a couple water jugs and try to run up a hill with them, and I promise you that you're going to say that's a workout that'll challenge anybody, even the most experienced person in the gym, if they go hard at it.
Daryl, great stuff, man. I appreciate it. Have yourself a great week.
Thanks, Jason.